listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Welcome to another episode. This week, I'd like to talk about a big Supreme Court case that was heard last week. It's Janus v. Aspe. It has huge implications on public sector employee unions, as well as states that are not yet right to work. To have a conversation about this and to learn more, I talked with Vinny Vernuccio. He's a senior fellow with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Midland, Michigan. But before we get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we are back. Without further ado, here's my conversation about Janus v. Aspe with Vinny Vernuccio from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Hey, Vinny, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. I just wanted to ask you about, have you discussed the Mark Janus versus Aspe court case that the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for, I believe it was last week. What are just basically, what is the case addressing? And I'll just let you go from there and we'll ask follow-up questions, but.
Great. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, Janus versus Aspe was heard at the Supreme Court, and I was actually had the privilege of being in the court while it was being argued. Tell you a little bit of exactly what this case is about. Mark Janus is the plaintiff, and he is a child support specialist in Illinois. He's a public employee. And what he's arguing is that his union, Aspe, everything that they do is inherently political. So because everything that they do is political, we can get back to what that exactly means in a second, but because of everything that they do is political, he has a First Amendment right not to pay them. So essentially, Mark Janus is arguing for right to work. And if the Supreme Court rules for Mark Janus in this case, essentially the entire country, so even the 22 states that are non-right to work, where unions can get workers fired for not paying them, will essentially be a right to work state, and Mark Janus can stop paying Aspe because he doesn't support them and doesn't believe in what they're doing.
Okay, now some will argue, because I know this is I've worked for the state before, and my wife has worked for the state, and the Aspe line here in Iowa is that, well, hey, that's a separate fund. Your dues don't actually go to pay for political activity. How would you address that?
Well, what he is arguing is that everything that they do is political. So it's not just giving money to a candidate.
Okay.
It's even collective bargaining for government unions. All of that has to do with tax money and policy. So think about it. If a government union is asking for a raise for their members, Where does that money come from? It comes from your tax dollars and mine. Even if they're asking for a change in working hours, these are for public employees. What is that? That's public policy. So because it's tax dollars, because it's public policy, everything that these unions do is inherently political. And because it's inherently political, Mark Janis says he has a First Amendment right not to be forced to support politics that he doesn't agree with. So he should be able to fully opt out and not pay the union anything.
Okay. So basically, since you were there, what kind of questions were the justices asking each counsel?
Well, it broke down pretty much like you would expect. And actually, this is a there was a case with arguing the exact same thing a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It was called Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association. And literally, it was the exact same argument. The only unfortunate thing happened is that after the case was argued, Justice Scalia died.
Yeah.
So the justices were split 4-4, and essentially nothing
happened. Yeah, so status quo. Okay.
So status quo happened. So essentially, all justices but Gorsuch have already been on the record, so there really weren't many surprises.
Okay.
Now, Justice Gorsuch, who everyone was watching, didn't actually say anything. So he kept the poker face the entire time, but most observers of the court think that he likely will vote for the First Amendment and protect Mark Janis's freedom of speech. But you can imagine that the liberal justices were grilling Mark Janis's attorneys, and the justices appointed by Republicans, they were actually going after the union attorneys pretty hard. In fact, both Justice Kennedy and Alito, they had a series of questions that were almost like rapid fire. Well, isn't this political? Isn't this political? Isn't this political?
Right.
And you saw the union attorneys almost go on the defensive because they think they know that they have an uphill battle right now.
Right. So more than likely, unless Gorsuch provides a huge surprise, this is probably going to go 5-4. If we're going to predict, Janis will probably end up being on the winning side of this case.
A lot of observers of the court, and frankly, most unions around the country, they're already working with politicians to advance legislation to try to circumvent a favorable decision by the court. So at least the unions think they know which way the case is going to go.
Okay. How in the world can – okay. I'm kind of curious what they think they could do at the state level that would circumvent the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, everything loose rolls to the left. So, let's look at Washington State, and they're kind of the poster child right now for unions pushing back. The legislature just passed what's known as a captive audience bill. So essentially, government unions in Washington can now make their sales pitch as part of the job to public employees in that state. So if you're a public employee, you have to sit through the union sales pitch. It's called a captive audience meeting. Mm-hmm. They're also mandating that the state will collect dues for the unions. Other things that the unions are putting out are ways to extend the contracts. So if contracts aren't affected, then employees could be trapped in. They're also trying to make it so you can only exercise your rights to opt out and stop paying the union through certain times of the year. Mm-hmm. So essentially, it's on your work anniversary for a lot of unions. So your anniversary may be completely different than the person working next to you. And then they go further and say, well, it's, 20 days to 10 days prior to your work anniversary. So essentially you need a calculator and a calendar
right.
in order to figure out when you can exercise your rights. And you're going to have a lot of public employees around the country getting confused and getting trapped in for another year. And that's what the unions are going for.
Okay. All right. So I know Michigan recently, they switched to right to work, right?
They did. Michigan was the 23rd right to work state, and gave public employees the freedom to choose. Both public employees and private sector employees the freedom to choose whether or not they still wanted to pay a union.
Okay.
And yeah, and the unions pulled out all the stops here, doing those windows, doing those contract extensions. And Shane, I tell you, they even did such underhanded things as changing the mailbox where you could mail in your resignation and then saying, "Oh, sorry, you sent it
Didn't
to the
get
wrong
it.
place."
Oh, man.
So there's a lot of shenanigans that go on here, but we're hopeful that with a good Supreme Court case, that public employees will know about their rights. And hey, if they want to stay in and if they're doing a good job, they're more than welcome to. But now they have the option where if the union is doing things that these public employees disagree with, even in states like New York, California, Illinois, that might not see right to work for decades, these public employees now have that right, or
Now,
will have that right after the decision.
Iowa's been right to work for, oh gosh, years. I probably wasn't even alive when I don't know if we've ever been not right to work. We recently changed our collective bargaining law last year that basically it, first of all, the state's no longer paying for union dues. It used to come out of, they used to withdraw, take it, withhold union dues for unions, but they're no longer doing that. Also, now they can only collectively bargain on actually salary. There's a lot that they used to be able to collectively bargain on. Now they can't. Now with Michigan, when you guys changed your laws, did workers suddenly get laid off in droves? I mean, did the sky fall?
I tell you, I got to Michigan exactly the right time. I bought my house in 2012 before we passed Right to Work, and I tell you, I'm doing well now. Property values are up, jobs are up, our unemployment is down, and let me tell you, wages are up. Workers are actually making more, and not only that, in some years, union membership has actually gone up because in Right to Work states, there are more, not just more jobs, but there's more opportunity for union jobs. Plus, one of the questions that Chief Justice Roberts actually asked was, well, hey, if it's voluntary, doesn't that mean that the unions have to serve their membership better to keep earning those dues? So no, the sky doesn't fall. Actually, things are getting a lot better.
Interesting. So, overall, I think there's been a decline in private union membership, but that's not been the case in Michigan.
It depends on the year. Some years since we passed Right to Work, membership has gone down. Other years, membership has actually got up. And I believe on the aggregate, we actually have more union members now than when we passed Right to Work in 2012.
Okay. Now, what kind of impact do you think the Supreme Court ruling will make on most of the states, provided, they don't get some extreme laws passed at the state level that could circumvent. What do you think should be some of the overall impact?
Well, I mean, it's not full-fledged right to work. So once again, we're only talking about public employees here. But what it's going to do, it's going to make those unions serve their members better and take their interest into account, and they can't take that forced dues money for granted. So the biggest thing that this case is going to do is it's going to give public employees across the country, especially in those 22 non-right to work states where unions can get workers fired for not paying them, it's going to give them the ability to say, yes, I'm going to support this union, or the freedom to say, no, I'm not.
Interesting. One thing I noticed in Iowa, and I don't know if this would be the case, in other states, but I used to see AFSCME, for instance, register on bills that were totally non-labor related, because they had a lobbyist at the Iowa legislature, and I was like scratching my head. It's like, why is AFSCME, registering on an abortion bill, or another bill that, is totally unrelated to labor issues? And I don't know if other states are seeing that, but I'm hoping, at least in Iowa, they're maybe getting a sense that, hey, our membership doesn't want us seeing and in, us involved in these particular cases, because we do have a diverse understanding, and we have people that are on each side of the issue. Maybe that'll be the case too if this court, if this ruling goes in the favor of Mr. Janice.
You do see that. You see that across the country, both from the local, but especially at those national unions, and they hear it again and again. And here's the thing, going back to how you opened the segment here, Union members can opt out of the union, even in non-right to work states, and they get a small percentage of the money they have to pay in dues back. So essentially they pay what's known as agency fees.
Gotcha.
And not to get too technical, but those agency fees, they're the vast majority of the dues. But you're right, they don't have to pay for the essentially, pushing candidates and doing that direct electoral politics. But I tell you, they pass, those kind of resolutions on the bills that you were just talking about. They pass them at their national conferences and, these other meetings. But guess what? You have to use dues money to get there. Right. That part of those dues money is not exempt. So even when they're saying, well, you can opt down, you don't have to pay for any politics, that is not entirely true, even taking aside from that everything government unions do being inherently political, even taking aside that argument that Mark Jadis is making right now.
Great. Well, hey, Vinny, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And it's gives us hopefully a better understanding of this particular court case and the impact it might make. Hopefully we'll have you back for an update down the road afterwards and see what we're seeing, in these different non-right to work states.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye. And that concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com, or you can just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and it'll show up at the top of your search screen. Be sure also to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our email updates. That way you don't miss a single thing that we write about. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. Until next time, my friends, take care.